All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, one of the changes to our Patreon structure is from now on, we have games that will come from us sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Excuse me if this is warm. This game came from my body.
I will. I found my old diary.
Oh, wow.
And look at this. Like, you flip through it, you see all these pictures. And, like, here it goes, Mr. Gary, quotation Phoebe, end quotation Kate's. Like, just these aspirational life goals I have.
Right, yeah.
Kind of flipping through here. Here's me complaining about school. Here's
that's a really cool Big Bad Beetleborg sticker.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Blubber. You know, okay, all kinds of stuff here. And I wanted to, in the inside of my diary, I wrote a complete collection of my PS1 games as a kid. And I thought we'd just kind of, roll up one of these bad boys randomly.
Okay.
And see. So let's kind of go through here. And let me see. I've got these in order here. Let's go look at the first game. First PS1 game I ever owned. Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Probably can't do that.
We've already done it, at the very least.
We've already done it. Yeah. Let's do another one real quick here.
Okay.
I'm just moving my finger around. You can just tell me when to stop.
And stop.
Okay. And Ralph, actually, Mysteries of the Fingers have taught me. Iron and Blood, Warriors of Ravenloft. I remember this game. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fuck. Like, it's
yeah,
pretty bad.
It's pretty fuck. Yeah. It's fuck.
It is pretty fuck. Give you a pretty fuck.
it'll be a sizable pretty fuck.
You, my little pretty fuck. My pretty fuck. Ooh, my little pretty fuck. Iron and Blood now. My name is Gary Butter.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is Outer Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah, Gary, I didn't believe that this game existed. This Iron and Blood, Warriors of Ravenloft.
I got it for when I bought my PlayStation from the the used video game store. He gave me a game for free, and he gave me Final Fantasy VII, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But this was there and was like $6 or something, and this was in 1999.
Oh yeah, peak Ravenloft.
Yeah, peak Ravenloft, and I just saw the cover and I'm like, Iron and Blood, the Warriors of Ravenloft?
Oh, still
my
heart.
God.
Yeah, somebody set your Harlan Ellison trap is what happened.
Exactly. And the video games in this store, I remember it very distinctly. You couldn't like pick them up or look at them. They were all behind a counter.
Okay.
Like on a wall. So you just kind of looked at this gallery of games and then would just like pick things up and like,
oh, that
it's such
one.
A good video.
Show me that one. I want to see the back.
Exactly. You know, except it's like a CD like stereo guy who is like, we're only selling games because if we don't, we'll go out of business. Like, we don't want to do this. It's just so he, you know, didn't give a shit, and everything was priced like kind of randomly, and like it was awesome. I have tons of affection for that place.
Is this the same place where the guy showed you animated GIFs of people having sex?
Nope. that's a dedicated video game store from when I was young, and it wasn't just one GIF, my friend. It was an entire
panoply, a cornucopia of fuck GIFs.
Yeah, the panopticon of hand sloptophon.
I'll allow it. You're
okay,
you're also nice, very... Mister, but you just squeaked by.
Yeah, it wasn't break it. But the this was that. So yeah, of course I was into Ravenloft.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, and so for picking a game, I was just like, you know what, if Cole and I can't get a half hour out of like something explicitly Ravenloft related,
we're gonna have to turn in our microphones. Yeah,
we should quit.
Yeah.
And then I also, as alluded to previously, I've been banking up life experiences for Slow Abject Suffering.
Me
so
too.
Like, yeah, we got stuff if it comes down to it. Yep. But this is pretty pretty weird and pretty bad. Like Masters of Terrace Kai bad.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Man, I forgot about Masters of Terrace.
Yeah.
Boy, and I played the shit out of that too.
It's bad.
It's really bad. So for people who don't know, this does not lean into the strengths of the license whatsoever, actually. It's not a role-playing game. It's not even an action role-playing game. This is a bad 3D fighting game.
Like a very bad 3D fighting game.
Like budget bad 3D fighting game.
Yeah. Like everyone looks like a weird collection. Like they all of them, whether they're wearing armor or not, look like animate suits of armor.
Yes.
You know, like they're just kind of hanging like limbs and forearms and stuff. Mm-hmm. When the license, it doesn't. So the two things it does to lean into the license is some of the, like the theming. Like there are spells and stuff you can get, you can use from this, the magic users, that are D&D spells.
Yes, you can do like a magic missile or something like that.
Yeah, and then classes as well. Like the at least the good guys.
Yeah, you know, you have like your halfling like mage with his like or not mage rogue who's like using his rapier and dagger and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
that guy's
like
great.
Dual wielding.
Yeah,
yeah, little dual wielding guy. There's a paladin. Stuff like that, and like the classes are represented accurately. Like the paladin has a couple spells
mm-hmm.
you can do, but he's mostly like the big sword guy.
Yes, and that's cool. And then, like the fact that they are represented as classes is very nice. I like that.
And why isn't there a competent D&D fighting game? Because it's such a good idea. Like the characters map onto like gameplay archetypes
mm-hmm.
more or less instantly. And then the other kind of cool like good thing about this. You know, while we're still saying good things before it just becomes, you know, trash fest, is that you can win by like hitting like in certain stages, which the stages are just big like Virtua Fighter platforms.
Yeah, with magical fields hung up around.
Those fields
them.
Are like you can get like stuck just bouncing off a field for so long.
Yeah. one of my most distinct memories of deciding I really don't like this person when I was working at a GameStop, I guess it was Babbage at the time, something like that. And the DS first came out, somebody came up like asking like, oh, what is this game? Like as though he couldn't read the front of the box. I'm like, oh, that's Feel the Magic XXYY or whatever it is. He's like, Field of Magic? Like, no, it's like, he was so excited about something called Field of Magic. It's like,
I love that guy. Give that guy a hug.
It's like, no, it's not Field of Magic. Can you
even imagine? Like, wait, you mean this field belongs to a veritable king?
What?
Like, good lord, what a fabulous field this will be.
Imagine the crop, I say.
The I you know, not to like there's the teenage dirtbags when we did November Rain where the notes for that's Slash's solo from his thing was Slash will play the solo in a quote-unquote cool field.
Yeah,
it's that kind of thing. Like field is a very special bland word for me.
but yeah, you're just in you're in these little arenas. Again, cool wrinkle, there are artifacts in these arenas that you can do special items to pick up and use.
That's what I was gonna say. Like the cool, they give you like static bonuses, and the when you use them, when you decide to use them in a fight, there's like a risk reward element because if you lose the fight, you lose the item.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use them and have a better chance of winning, but it's like if you fuck up, you fuck yeah. up, which is like pretty badass. Like that's It's this weird because it is like budget trash tier, but it's not bereft of neat things about it.
Right. And so like the other thing, like I wish that anything about this game was better explained, because you don't just pick a character. You actually assemble a team. Like you ride forth a party and you're fighting up against somebody else's party. And so you have to like pick, here are the possible people that I'm going to use. And then each round you're kind of like throwing new people at them.
Yes.
So there's like a weird persistence to it.
The different rounds have different goals too, which I don't know what they mean.
No.
Where like
the magic item, like,
yeah, magic power,
double dribble, like,
yeah, you know, goal, magic power. Like that voice actor is real special. So having these team, it's not like you had to bench guys. It's not like they stay hurt or anything like that. It's just you can pick from everybody, but then in the actual game, you can only pick from four people and you have to choose, and they have to be on one side of it. For, you know, you can either be good guys or bad guys in this. Because this is one of the only PlayStation games I had, I played it a lot, Cole.
Oh, wow. Like, did you have like, people to play with? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I played competitive Iron and Blood. Like, me and my buddy Derek would play Iron and Blood against each other. It's like a fun Saturday night. Bust out the Oreos and do a finger party on the Iron and Blood warehouse in our hands. Like,
what are you talking about?
I'm just gonna see how many, like, you know, words don't do things.
Yep. Are you just like hitting suggest next word on your iPad keyboard or whatever?
I've been replaced by a Markov chain. Like,
wait a minute. So have I.
Hello, my name is Markov chain.
Markov chain.
Boy, that is like a Dilbert joke.
Yeah.
Or something maybe upgrade to a Dave Barry joke, but like,
yeah. I mean, just to get away from the hating women part.
Exactly. Yeah. And just hating traffic. Whoa.
Okay, so you had late night finger parties. You played a lot of this, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, it was one of two games I had, and the other one was Final Fantasy VII, which, like, not famously, but I've talked about on the show. I borrowed that from my buddy Derek and beat it in 72 hours.
Yeah, you put that directly into your Vans. Like,
yes, we on a diet of Coke, not Diet Coke, regular Coke and cordial cherries. I 100%ed it, like beat all the weapons and stuff within a weekend.
Yeah,
but then I got my own copy because I wanted to play it again, more or less right away. But I'd already played it, so it wasn't like. Drawing in that much.
It doesn't have the legs that an Iron and Blood. It is so hard not to say Iron and Wine.
Yeah, it does not have the legs that Iron and Wine does either. There's four of those. Right. I don't know how many people there are.
In your mind, is one of them Iron and the other Wine?
Yeah. Like, one of them's the beardo who can't fucking open his mouth all the way when he sings, and the other one's the one that plays guitar, and that's like, essentially one of them is the guy who has to whisper creak everything out of his like throat. And then, you know, like, I don't know.
I'm not actually a fan of Iron and Wine. It's just the first thing that comes to mind.
No, I know.
Because Iron and Blood is a stupid name. Like,
I'm not trying to beat you in an argument to defend Iron and Wine. No. That's what suck.
There's the initial name for this, Iron Blood, is much better than Iron and Blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like you've got iron in your blood, like X-Men 2. Or I think the idea is just like, you know, blood's real creepy and vampire-y, strotty.
Yeah, yeah.
And then iron is like, weapons are sometimes made of it. It's like, it's strong and metal. Well, I guess while I'm saying good things about this, we'll start saying bad things about it soon, because there's a real fatal flaw. But I think that the actual cast is really good and diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like the main characters all map onto D&D party members, like classes. The bad guys are pretty awesome. Like, and just kind of weird monsters. Mm-hmm. There's a fun skeleton friend, the werewolf, evil mage, of course. But then there's like the executioner, like the weird flesh golem guy. That guy's great.
Yeah.
They all have weird, like, Volo get up cycles, like stand up animations.
Oh, yeah. You mean, Volta, like from Soul Calibur.
But. I mean, the big thing, the reason why this sucks is your character is inconsistent. Like, this should never have been a 3D fighting game.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, it handles the third dimension worse than most games.
Yeah, it handles it worse than Mortal Kombat 4.
Yeah.
Because at least Mortal Kombat 4 has the decency to at least handle facing for you.
Like, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't lock on. So, like, and you have the turning radius of a Kingsfield. Did you say Kingsfield?
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Kingsfield? My mind went entirely blank as soon as you said field.
I like the idea of Kings XXXXY Kingsfield.
Feel the king, XXYY. Feel
the king. Do it, baby. You turn so slowly, and there's no auto like turn towards your opponent. So like,
well, you have to block. If you block, you center on them. I never noticed a turn. All that I noticed, if I pressed right, I would just run in the direction that I was facing. If I pressed left, I would backstep.
Yeah, yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
Like two player matches of this.
What you're describing is almost like a tank control fighting game.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I could tell, that's what's going on. Like,
oh, geez.
The matches of this, would there be large portions of it where we were far away from each other, just slowly rotating to face each other on, like, without moving our feet, just like, so silly.
You're just fighting on Roombas.
Yeah, like we were the Southern Oracle, like, just facing to shoot lightning at each other down at Atreyu or whatever. Like we were fighting on Roombas as well. Like it's very, very weird. Like slow Roombas, like like scratch and dent Roombas. So
a retirement home for Roombas.
Yeah, no country for old Roombas.
Yeah. Oh no. Little Billy here. He tried to clean up a spilled tube of toothpaste. Yeah. He got all gummed up, but we love him.
Yeah. The house got a second dog and he couldn't handle it.
We put fresh googly eyes on him every day.
Roombas are cute.
I really wish I had one.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have a cat, like, I could have one. Like, I have too much stuff on my floor, like cords and stuff like that. And the cat hair would kill it. But, like, does giving something, like, a job inherently make it cute? Because, like, that's what's cute about Roomba is that, like, it's just like, got to do my duty. You know, like, he's just going about his business. Like, he's got a goal.
I think what makes something inherently cute is that we like to anthropomorphize. But you're absolutely right. Like, the fact that it's just kind of like it's my little cleaning friend.
Yeah, you know? If it was just, like, a disc.
Yeah.
And even if it was just a disc that moved around the floor without a job, I don't think it would be that cute, you know?
True.
Like, it's really, it's about it having, like, I don't know, like, it being a cleaning friend. Like you said, mm-hmm. it's got a, you know, it's got a mission.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I like dogs well enough, but I fucking love working dogs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and even if it's not, like, a real work thing, like, if you, like, find a video and it's like, this dog is, you know, sorting laundry. And it's like, that's not that job's dog, but or that job's dog. It's not who's job dog. That is not that dog's job. But just the idea of, like, you know, got work to do. Or that, I mean, I've said it before, but, like, one of my favorite early, you know, viral internet images is that cat pushing the watermelon out of the lake.
Uh-huh.
Because it just, like, the expression on his face is just like, okay, after this, I got four more and then I can go home to my wife and kids. Like, it's just, like, it's very, very charming to me.
Yeah, no, Roombas are cute. I have had more than one in my Amazon cart and thought, you know what, $300, that could go elsewhere.
Yeah.
That and I like
vacuum. They're very expensive.
Yeah. Man. But yes, this is so the fact that you can lose facing, and if you're fighting CPU, they can just kind of automatically lock onto you. It's almost like the in a weird twist of fate, the CPU is playing Toro with you. You will try and make like an advance on them, you will go past them, and as you're trying to recenter yourself, they'll attack you and then you're down.
And pushing is really so, like, the poise or getting knocked back or something by attack is really huge in this, like, so much so that there are artifacts that deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting pushed on those walls hurts you. So it's very easy to hit one of those walls, have the computer kind of, like, get behind you and just kind of continuously juggle you off the wall.
Yep.
There's a system in place to stop this where if you get knocked into the computer when that happens, you'll knock the computer down. But there's prioritizing where if you get knocked down by the wall, you stay down longer. So the computer can kind of get some free hits on you.
Hmm.
So it's like it's in this weird place where it's like it's definitely cheap ass shitty shovelware, but it's not like it's bereft of care.
Right.
It's just, you know, the care was not put into the right places.
The thing that, like, baffles me about this is, like, where did the idea for this come from? How did this happen? Like, why Ravenloft? Like, why was this executed to the level that it was? It wasn't originally going to be on the PlayStation. One of the reasons it looks really bad and plays really bad is it was initially a 3DO game.
Yeah.
And they had to, like,
imagine?
They had to, oh gosh, that would have fixed everything.
Yeah.
it's such a bizarre kind of thing. Like, I can much more wrap my head around something like Demon Stone. You know,
sure, man. Demon Stone. I had a lot of fun with Demon Stone.
Are you thinking of Demon Stone or Dark Stone? Because we've been down this road before.
Oh, I was thinking of Dark Stone.
Yeah, Dark Stone is also really good.
Yeah. Anything, pretty much the Stone suffix.
Yep.
is really, really strong.
Stone is my field, Gary.
Yeah. Wait. Did you say Stonefield or Stonefield? Because one of those is real good. One of them I don't care about at all. The intro movie for this is pretty badass too. In a ridiculous way. Like, I like this gathering of the juggalos that happens in the realm of Ravenloft.
Ravenloft is really juggalo-y. The one Ravenloft campaign I've ever run.
The Dark Carnival.
Exactly. The one Ravenloft campaign I've ever run. David ran it. David Money Smith from The Level. He's a big fan of Ravenloft. And he ran a carnival one where for people who don't know, there's a carnival that rolls around and people who join it slowly get transformed as they, you know, go in. It's like, oh, your sins manifest as you go about as this lone wanderer kind of person,
mm-hmm.
as a carny kind of person. But yes, it's very, very juggalo-y.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, yes, Juggalos kind of fucked that up, but like, that is kind of cool.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Like, Ravenloft is really good. Like, I have one of, not like say prize possession, that's stupid. Like, what, something that I own that I like is a second edition box, like the box set Ravenloft thing. I found it at a thrift store somewhere along the line.
Nice.
And that's, it's very cool.
Check your Slack.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let me go ahead and pull up the old Slack-a-rooney. this intro thing too, this watching the intro thing just reminded me of something where it begins. It says, would you like to enable the autosave?
Yeah.
And then when you say yes, it goes, are you sure? Oh man, this is great.
I know.
This picture in the Slack. Uh-huh. Like it's a headless kind of golem pruning one of her heads.
It is a cursed human, specifically in the Ravenloft world. Like, one of the cool things about Ravenloft, you don't just have creatures, you have like named exemplars of those things. So this is Jacqueline Montari, this cursed human who is headless but has like a whole like inventory of heads that she can put on. This is her with a headless. She's, you know, just like a you know, body of a Spear of Agnew, kind of Ken doll smooth on her neck, brushing her own head as it sits on a table in this cool, awesome like little egg holder with a jar full of heads behind her.
This is fantastic, because Ravenloft has a very cool like idea behind it too, where it's like those exemplars, you can become one of those just by becoming powerful enough. Mm-hmm. It's very planescapey in that sense, and like we spent a lot of time talking about how good that period was for TSR. Mm-hmm. As far as like imaginative world kind of things, and like you also get sucked into Ravenloft, like you can just be walking
like a mist descends like a fog
yeah,
it's like a thinny,
and then you wake up and then you're back, and then you're in Ravenloft, and it's like, well, fuck. Like, it's got a hook to where like they knew that people were not going to want to necessarily interrupt their long running campaigns, but like you can do six sessions in Ravenloft pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I've never actually run anything or played anything in it. I just know it from video games and reading about it.
Yes.
But I would love to. I love my game group. Mm-hmm. I am like by far the biggest horror fan, but by like a country mile.
Yeah,
like everyone else just kind of tolerates it for, you know. I feel like, just so they don't hurt my feelings.
Okay.
I wish one of them liked it so they could run something I could play.
Oh, because
I never get to play anything in horror. I only get to run like horror stuff.
Yeah. So it's not just you forcing the issue the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's very like, and you know, I'm sure they're not actually just doing it just for my feelings.
No,
they do, you know, they like it. But and I've got to run a lot of really cool stuff. Like, we just wrapped up our big long Call of Cthulhu thing, which was cool. But I would love to I would love somebody to run a Ravenloft campaign. Mm-hmm. That I could play in. That'd be super cool. Yeah. Oh boy!
Now I'm just scrolling through. I've got a whole bunch of Ravenloft Monsters compendiums open up in front of me.
Mm-hmm. I will buy those when I find them, but I keep getting like the loser ones. Like, I have one that's Frankenstein's and one that's mummies. like Van Richten's Guide to Frankenstein's. I mean, that's not what it's called, but that's what it is essentially.
to abomination golems or something like that.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. I can't remember what the actual saying is for it. The mummy one says something different too. It's mummies, but it says it's like ancient something undead.
Yeah,
but just a bunch of different kinds of mummies.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the first. Oh my gosh, I need to I know what I'm reading tonight. The first entry in this one, it's the Ravenloft Appendix 2 is Brain, Living. Apparently, there's a character Rudolf von Aubricker who preserved his brain in a jar and became one of those exemplars by becoming the most powerful brain in a jar that there is.
he swept the jar. He's 3 years in a row. I'm way, way into that. Like, I'm really into, you know, Monster My podcast, but it's gonna be so good when we get out of the regular Monster Manual and can switch to like Ravenloft or Planescape for a little while. Like, that's gonna be like a whole different show. Like, maybe slightly less digressive mm-hmm. as the actual entries get cooler.
Yeah,
but I think that the fun bonkers adventure hook side of that show will get like,
oh yeah, for
way
real.
More rich.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Me too. And, you know, and that's something that can evolve. Like, we've got a spicy, like the original Monsters Manual is a spicy meatball, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or then we moving back to like OD&D mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And then I've talked about that, Shadowrun one before. Mm-hmm. So that can go as long as people will listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have anything else to say about this game. Like, it's so basic, like in a way that even extends below something like Air Geis. I know people, now we're going to have all the Air Geis fans writing.
Not none of those Geis heads.
Or, like Soul Blade, not even Tobol, like Soul Calibur. Two. Yeah, like Tobol. Like, you know, God help them, they were trying. But like...
Yeah. It's a mistake to do fighting games in 3D. Like, just like it's a mistake to do platformers in 3D. Like, it's not very interesting. You don't gain very much from it.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, like,
I've never, I was about to say, like, oh, I really enjoy, like, Soul Calibur. Like, Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast and the arcade is really, really good. But, like, I can't think of a time when the Z-axis was used for anything besides, like, a quick dodge, you know, without getting out of range. Like, that is all that it's good for. And, like, anytime it's used to another effect, like, outside of something like Power Stone, which is a different thing.
Sure, Power Stone or Bushido Blade. Like, those big, long arena things. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, like, a one-on-one kind of facing fighter doesn't gain very much from being 3D. And that dodge, quick dodge thing, you could do a very similar effect by just having two planes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can dodge into the other plane and still not lose range, you know, but then you can just kind of go, it can be binary between those two things because there's not a lot, you know, they never do anything with like area control. You're very rarely going to have like spacing on your opponent to where you could like, you know, you can kind of do that in a way that you can with like Street Fighter, but it doesn't, not in the Z-axis.
Yeah, it's something like, that's like, especially in the Z-axis, but like, I, you know, in Soul Calibur, playing somebody like Killick, it's built into the character, the effective range that they're at, and like the extra mobility that is afforded you there just gets you, God, people are ripping their hair out as I'm massacring this, just gets you a little bit more versatility with them and what they can do. And that's about it.
Yeah. Like I like Soul Calibur a lot as well. Like I played the second one, the GameCube one that had Link. Mm-hmm. In it to completion and really, really loved it.
Yeah.
But it isn't, you know, like you said, it's not because it's 3D. Like that would have been fine as a 2D fighter. Like, you know, I don't know, less is more.
Yep.
This would be, if it wasn't for that, this would not be like well remembered or anything, but it would not be a garbage fire. Like the only reason why I really like suggested it was just like I was thinking of bad games I'd played when I was young and wanted an excuse to kind of revisit it.
Yeah.
I got my chance too, and I was like, oh yeah, yes.
So did you find anything different, like back in the day, did you just kind of recognize like, yeah, this isn't fantastic, but it's what I've got, so I'm gonna play it? Like has your opinion of this evolved, or was it always just kind of like, man, this is not great?
I was into it more when I was young because it was like that was D&D fever.
Yeah,
time for me. Like that was I keep wanting to say famously, but it's like I mean significantly. Like it's not like, you know, that like across this nation people have heard of this dumb life decision I made when I was 19.
Yeah,
but I owned a bunch. I got into Magic relatively early.
Okay.
I never had any of like the super expensive cards, but I had a bunch of expensive cards. Mm-hmm. I eventually sold my collection to buy D&D stuff. Like when I got into D&D, I'm like D&D, and bought like tons of stuff. And I was so into it. It was before I had a gaming PC. It was before Baldur's Gate came out. D&D video games at that point, I had played the Gold Box games,
of course,
a bit, and still really, you know, those are good. But I was so into D&D fever that like just the idea of like, oh, I'm a cool ranger. Like, I'm this cool archer with this bow and arrow that, like, can shoot, you know, but has spikes on it, so I can use it like a Klingon baklach thing or whatever, baklach. Was just cool enough for me to get me through. Like, I didn't really question it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a little bit like why anybody ever played Star Wars Terra Kasih or whatever it is.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to put in that code and play as Yoda.
Yeah.
You know, but to my mind, like putting in a code and playing as Strahd is 1,000 times cooler than playing anything as Yoda.
That's a subjective thing. Like I'm just trying to draw analogs to people who.
I'm telling you, it is. Strahd is cooler than Yoda. Let's change this entire podcast to an intolerable nerd fight bullshit podcast.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, let's do that and then kill ourselves. So.
All I was trying to do was widen the umbrella so more people could get it beneath it. But you're like, oh, Star Wars kick.
Yeah. / kick. Don't bring up the SW word. Fucking SWs. Taking away our video games.
Gosh, I'm a Star Wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of GameFAQs gold for this.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. There's the review by Admiral Howdy, all the only thing they recommend it. Yep. Yeah. The only funny thing about it is the title. Ignore the sourpusses. This game is fun.
Yeah. Aw, what a cutie. Well, there's also the great Dib, whose review title is "Infidel, I shall banish you in the name of order and goodness right after I finish this mug of beer." Mm-hmm. Apostrophe course, which nobody uses that for, of course. you can't replace "of" with an apostrophe, of course. And then passes out in quotes.
Yeah, I mean it's a chat board or a chat room role playing.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. With the asterisks and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's some like real hyperbole too, because the other review done by Damian Ingus, who says, "An amazing game I never would have imagined." this is very, very intense.
So I've got two things from the from the message board. One of them is going to be a dramatic reading. The first is somebody wrote, Sahate 2 said, "Anyone here have the booklet to this game?" And then in a different topic, not as a response, but somebody just posted a new thread, "Sahate 2, I have the booklet."
Meet me over here, yep. Two lines down, and I'll tell you how to get it.
Yep. And Gary, this is so this is a post by Modest J, and Modest J, Gary, not very modest. The thread title, "The only fighting game I ever hated."
I missed this somehow. Because, well, real quick, can we end on this? Because this is better.
Yes.
I was going to say that somebody made stat blocks for all these characters, so you can play them in D&D too. which I think is very cute and good. Yeah, I like that happened.
No, that's really great.
So that's the first thing, and it, by far the most responses. And this was the main thing I kind of zoomed in on and missed this Modest J thing. So just if you want to incorporate these classic characters like Sasha and Kurik into your D&D second edition campaign, this guy's got you covered.
And if you have any illusions that they're not just standard Ranger X, standard Rogue Y.
Standard Ranger X for the Genesis.
Okay. So this is "The Only Fighting Game I Ever Hated" by Modest J. "Fighting games are sacred to me. I see the beauty in all of them, even Pit Fighter. But this was beyond the limits of terrible. Never have I been so disgusted by a fighting game in my life. I took great pleasure in playing Frisbee with it. Then I just snapped it in two and threw it in the garbage. Yep, I, Modest J, self-proclaimed lover of all fighting games, threw that piece of shit in the garbage, and I am proud of it."
Yeah. I would expect better from him, from Modest J. But why won't it let me go to his user profile? I want to learn some more Modest J facts. He thinks Fallout New Vegas is 2.5 stars.
Oh, fuck him.
And World Heroes Anthology is 4. Go to hell, Modest J.
His SIG contains a quote from Boris and Natasha of Rocky and Bullwinkle fame.
Very weird. Is this guy 60?
let's see more. See more is just a list view.
Expecting to find more message board posts where he talks about his legendary love of fighting games. Because, I mean, Modest J, I don't know how long it's been since you played Pit Fighter. Pit Fighter's pretty rough, my friend. it's not good.
Let's see. He's pretty active. He was last active today at at 4:30
p.m. He's in the house.
He has 402 karma. His current signature is, let's see here, "Will not remove until Alexander Gustafsson is UFC champion or retires. And then also, "I hit pre-ordering, DLC, online gaming, and tier lists in that order."
Oh my god. that game, when we talked about the GameFAQs documentary, we talk about it in terms of the past, almost entirely.
Oh yeah.
This is all current.
Uh-huh.
This guy is, I didn't know there was still this shit going on, man.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the new Street Fighter half a star, half a heart. That can't be true. I've never played
that. That says everything you need to know.
Yeah. First does he rate it or just review it?
I think he just rated it.
He
gave Tekken 7 a 5. He's got a very strong feeling about EA shooters. He gave Battlefield 4 a half star and Star Wars Battlefront on all three platforms a half star. So I guess he owns all three of them.
Yeah, or he just went on a tear.
Yeah, he's
on a mission.
He was knee deep in Old Crow and just kind of just said, "I'll show EA what I think." Yeah.
Well, he's going to update his hate list. Who is this character who's his avatar?
I don't know. Let's go to Tenai.
Yeah, it looks like it does, like, it bucks the trend of, like, oh, I don't recognize that character. It's from Overwatch or League of Legends. I don't think this is that.
It looks like a Z-tier Mortal
like
Kombat.
Blade.
Yeah.
It looks like a Blade from a fighting game.
The Blade fighting game.
Oh, man.
I'm
still my heart.
I'm pretty sure that, like, Blade is probably featured in one of those shitty, like, free-to-play.
Oh, no, he 100% is in, like, yeah, the Marvel puzzle thing. He's also, yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, you win him out of a vending machine. Like, you go to it, like, not, like, you don't win, like, a token that represents your ability to play him. You pull him out of a claw machine, and he's like, that was weird.
Is he like, the Dampire version of The Toy starring Richard Pryor?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very much like that. He's like Wonder Wheel, and he's fighting the clan. The real Daywalkers.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. So the character's name is Raven. Let's see here. I think I found, by using this, I have found this guy's accounts on Tenai across everything.
Oh, man. Well, this is like a crusade that we don't have time to get into,
I think so. Yeah. Modest J, wow. Wow, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. good job Modest J. I respect your, as somebody who has said you like fighting games a lot, that lends credence to the fact that, to your fighting game opinions. This is like a real online discourse thing to be like, to set up your qualifications about how much you like something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You say something like that, like, yeah, that's very frustrating.
It certainly is. I mean, nobody would feel the need to do that if people weren't constantly trying to disqualify everybody else for an opinion they might have. So, like, the fact that you have to come out swinging with, trust me, I know what I'm doing. You know, as someone who's on the record as having Dark Souls as being their favorite game, I'm not averse to hard games.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks that we, you know, we go in, like, you're right. Like, we do that. It sucks.
I mean,
that
we
it
did that once 5 years ago. Yeah. Sometimes we still do it, but I'm just, I want to.
It comes up sometimes.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is because people are just like, these guys are, you know, don't like challenge or something. It's like, well, yeah, that's not true at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Who suggested this, Cole?
You did. Nobody else did.
That's me.
I'm surprised. Go you.
Go fuck myself. Go. Yeah. So thank you, me. Yep. And if you want to suggest games for the show, mm-hmm, make your own goddamn show and host it, because that's how this one got.
No. If you want to suggest games for the show, go to right now, it's abjectsuffering.com/about. That may change, but there's a form on there where you can suggest those. Even though we've kind of shifted more towards like direct submissions by patronage, at least once a month and twice a month on months where there are 5 Mondays, we're going to do like random stuff. So like that list is still there. Still useful, because fuck knows, I can't think of enough bad games, so maybe some of yours are going to be pulled up in the claw machine. Maybe you will be the Blade.
Yeah, you can be the Blade you want to see in the world. The old saying. I did. That is how you suggest games.
Yeah,
you don't have to go fuck yourself or go make your own show. You can, though. So thank you very much. Ratings reviews are very useful and helpful. We really do appreciate them. Also telling your friends, mm-hmm, very good. Duckfeed.tv/store. Patreon, all different ways that are very, very helpful.
Yeah, if you go to the store, you can buy the first season of Exquisite Suffering. It is only $6. That's like half off what it otherwise would be. Just because those are old episodes and we want to give you a break on them.
The price for a, you know, for a movie.
Yep.
For
like almost 6 hours of entertainment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely well worth your time and money. So thank you very much. Until next time, who is
Straw Dog?
Yeah. What, have you seen Straw Dogs?